We've been going through the book of Psalms, walking through there, and just like kind of letting God speak in individual messages. A lot of times our messages get tied together, and what I've done over the last month, actually 4 or 5 weeks, is that I've been looking at the book of Psalms and just kind of unpacking it and just letting God speak through those to our church. And one of the things that we're discovering, that I've discovered, and I don't know how it's been ministering to you, I hope it has, is the idea that, man, there's a lot of cool promises there in the book of Psalms. There's a lot of stuff that we can look at and read and go, man, this is for me. This can be applied to my life. And so today is no different. Today is no different in what we're going to talk about. Because we've been talking about seeking his fullness and wanting the fullness of God. And one of the things, some of this music that we had this morning was just an amazing job. I love the fact, man, that that some of our musicians didn't show up. And man, this team just took it to a whole nother level. That was amazing to do that. And I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you, the team there. But this morning, man, I want to tie this all together and kind of wrap this thing up as we look at our final psalm, which, of course, we'll go back to the Bible, I'm sure. But for today and for this message, we're going to look at our final psalm. So open your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, whatever, to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Now, I had a kind of a wrestling match. Sometimes God wrestles with me or I wrestle with him because I wanted to do Psalms 91. It's one of my favorite psalms. Some of y'all are familiar with that that psalm. That's one of my favorite psalms, is Psalms 91. This is another good one, though. Psalms 103 is a really cool one. And as I got to reading it, can I come down there with you guys? Can I just feel like I'm all there? I got more room to walk now. I don't know if this might work for me. Praise God. So. I just like to be down here and where things are happening. So, we've been talking about how to have revival in our personal lives, how to show up the manifestations of God in our life, and I'm going to show you something today that's going to completely, I hope it will rattle your world. I hope it'll shock you as much as when you walked into the service today and you looked around and went, okay, did I walk into the wrong church? Because some of y'all thought that, right? Some of y'all thought, okay, what? Pastor Mike has lost his mind. You walked in and said, okay, he's stretching now. And some of y'all got to see it a little earlier and like, okay, what happened here, all right? And so you walked in and went, okay, what happened? Because I'm going to show you something today that I believe will rattle your world. And I want it to rattle your world. And it's funny, too. If you could stand up where I'm at right now and look at where everybody is seated, you guys are seated right where your tables are. It is amazing. Every one of you are where your tables are. Talk about creatures of habit. Every one of y'all, except for the Harbors, because the Harbors, I know the Harbors. Harbors bounce around. Y'all, you jump around. Y'all right. So you're on your third week laps. Where you? Yeah. So, yeah, they have about three tables, and they're at their third table. So, okay. But we are creatures of habit, and so I started looking at this book of Psalms in Psalms 91, and. Okay, that stunk. That did not go where I want it to go. Great. That's wonderful. This technology sucks. Where's your notes? Thank you. I don't need them, but I'm about ready to go old school from now on here. Okay. So the thing about life is that life gets real tricky. Life gets real hairy. Sometimes about life, we kind of start out one way, but then we will always revert as human nature as we are. This is a great testimony of that. The human nature will always revert back to the easiest thing that we're conditioned with. So whatever we're conditioned to and whatever we condition ourselves to, we will always go back to that, the easiest thing. That's why faith, living for the Lord, doing things, man, learning to change your confession, learning to change eating habits and working out, we always revert back to the thing that we know. So for like working out, for instance, when we talk about, I'm still going to walk back and forth. So working out and stuff, you revert back to the junk food that you like, okay? So me, my revert, what is my revert? Anybody know? Pizza and ice cream. Come on, my brother. That's right. I love pizza and ice cream. I'm going to go back to it. That is my, when things get bad, when things aren't going well in Pastor Mike's life, I'm begging my wife, take me out for pizza. Come on, let's go get some pizza. Let's go get Bluebell. Let's go get something. I've got that because that's my easy. That's the revert. You're trying to start to pray. You start praying, and man, you do good for like 2 weeks. You do good for maybe even 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden something bad happens in your life, and you revert back to the one thing that you know, and it's not prayer. We revert back to the easiest thing in our life. And this Psalms 103 is a crazy, it's a great psalm because you can miss the powerful statement that David speaks of in the very first two verses. Now, we're going to talk way more than two verses, but you'll miss something very huge if you don't understand what he's talking about, all right? So let's read it together as a church, let's all read it out loud together. We're going to read it. I believe that's my first passage, matter of fact, right? Yeah, let's go to Psalms 103. We're going to read all 22 verses together as a church, all right? So let's all do this together. Ready? A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all right, hold up. I'm only hearing myself, okay? Let's all pray this together. I want you to hear this. I want you to speak this. I got you, brother. I see you, man. All right. Let's all pray this together. All right, let's speak it together. Ready? A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquity. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes it. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, you who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, I know that was a lot of reading, and for some of you, that was a lot of reading. Okay? Here's an interesting thing. What is David doing in this Psalms? It's easy to kind of bypass what's happening in this book. Really easy, unless you really take some time to look at it. The very first two passages of Scripture there, that Psalms verses 103, 1 and 2, are the key elements for the rest of the entire Psalm. And those are the two that I want to focus on for a moment before we carry on to what God's really saying here. Now, the first thing, man, that David does is he uses a key word that says bless. Now, when we think of this word bless, we think, well, that means, you know, hey, the New Testament under the New Covenant, it actually means to say something good about or to talk well of is the word bless. Now, this word here, bless, in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, doesn't mean that. It actually means to kneel, to submit, to surrender, to admonish. Now, it's an interesting word when you take that word bless, which is to kneel, and you put it in the context of what he's talking about. Who is David talking to? Who is he talking to? What does he say in the very first verse? Huh? Oh, my what? Oh, my soul. Now, we have learned at Epic Life Church, and hopefully at other churches that you've attended, what is the soul? What happens inside the soul? Mind, will, and emotions, right? That's our mind, will, and emotions is our soul, right? So David is talking to his soul, and he's telling his soul, hey, soul, bless the Lord. Why? We're fixing to find out. We're fixing to find out why David reminds himself. He reminds his mind, his will, and his intellect, and he says, hey, you need to do something here. And what we're going to find out is that in the next passage, it's actually our very first point for today, and it's in your worship guide. Look here in your worship guide, your very first point. What is David doing? David is reminding himself. We need to remind ourselves. We forget. We get involved in life and things happen and new careers and jobs and school and life happens, family. And we forget what God has done in our life. And sometimes we need to take a step back and go, hey, Mike, bless the Lord. Oh, your soul. And all that is within you, bless his holy name. Why? Because sometimes I need to remind myself of where God has brought me, where God has taken me, what God has done in my marriage and in my family and my kids and in my job and in our ministry. And sometimes I've got to take a step back and go, oh, my soul, bless the Lord. That's the purpose of not having chairs here this morning, is that sometimes we forget why we do what we do. And we get developed into these cliques. And even in tables, we can become a clique. Even in our table setting, we think that our church is about the way we set a table or the way we sit in a position during worship. And that's not it at all. See, God has spoken to me and he said, it's not about what we sit on that is the thing that we should be talking about that's relevant in our church. It should be what God's doing in the midst of worship. It should be in the midst of what God's doing in our hearts and in our lives and what he has done in our life. That's the important factor. It's not about whether we sit at a table or whether we sit in chairs or even some of you, the hardwood pews with the little ka-clunk kneel pad things that you go down on. I hate it. I've always hated those things, right? David does this. David's talking to himself and he's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And then what he does is so amazing. He begins to show what God has done inside his life. He begins to remember all the things that God has done. That's why I love Psalms 103, because it's not just a promise of what God has done. Listen to me, church. It is a promise of what God will do. It is a promise of what God is doing in some of your life. And this morning, some of you all need that reminder to remember God has done an amazing work in your life. And you've got caught up with your job or your school or your career or even, heaven forbid, your ministry or your church theology. And we have forgotten who God is and what God has done. It's amazing I get to stand back and watch all the surprising looks of everybody that walked in this building and went, okay. Amazing. Imagine some of the looks. No. Imagine for a moment how God views what he has done in our life, and we tend to forget. Now, I didn't write the scriptures down, but I can give you a little history lesson. It's with the nation of Israel. See, the nation of Israel did the same exact thing. The nation of Israel forgot what God had done. And because of that, God said, I have to remove my presence from you. They used to have this thing called the Ark of the Covenant. That was the very presence of God. But because the nation of Israel had forgotten who God is and what God had done in their life, removing slavery from them, bringing them out of Egypt, God said, man, because you have done this, I'm going to turn you over to your enemies. Now, I know we're under new covenant and we're under grace, but my point is this, God remembers. God remembers. He knows the things. And so when we forget what God has done in and through us and what God wants to do in and through us, it means that God remembers. And we see that in the Old Testament all through the place where God remembered what he had done and how the nation of Israel rejected God even after he saved them, even after he delivered them out of bondage. My point is that God remembers. And it does hurt God when we forget who he is and what he's done in our life. Let's look at some of those things. First scripture here is remind ourselves, Psalms 103:1, it said this. It says, a psalm of David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Sometimes, guys, you're going to have to look in the mirror and remember what God has done to you and through you and what he wants to do in and through you. Verse 2 said, bless the Lord. He reminds himself again, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We get caught up in life, man, and sometimes we forget. Man, we don't forget scores to the game. We know all the statistics of the best players, right? I can tell you, you know, CrossFit, same thing. We got CrossFitters in here like crazy, right? So we know who did what. But sometimes we forget the benefits of having this amazing relationship with our Heavenly Father. Don't we kind of forget the plan and purposes that He has for us? Sometimes in this walk, we need to remind ourselves who we are because of God. And here David says, hey, soul, kneel. I will adore God. Everything in me, hey, you need to kneel because this is what God has done. This is what David's saying. We've all been here because we're busy people. I think it was Stefan that said it. You know, one of the greatest attacks that the enemy has today is busyness. We become so busy that we forget the benefits of our Heavenly Father. We get so busy, we forgot what He's done in our marriage. We get so busy, we forget what He did at our church. We get so busy, we forgot about that deliverance that we had when He delivered us from prison, or He delivered us from drugs, or He did something in our life, or He brought our family together. Or we get so busy, we forget our friends and relationships that God has put in our life. We get busy and we forget. God says, I want to remind us again. I forget stuff all the time. If you've been around me for any 24-hour period, you're going to know that. I wear my glasses like right here, and I'm looking for them everywhere. Where are my glasses? And my wife, in her loving way, just pulls them off my head and gives them to me. Yeah. My keys. I'm horrible about keys. Horrible about keys. We spend probably, I would say probably 1,000 to 2,000 hours a year just looking for keys. Yeah, I lose them everywhere. I just set them down somewhere. It's like, okay. Now I've started leaving them in my truck. I don't know if I should tell you that or not. Right? I like my Dodge, okay? But now I just leave them in my truck because I know where they're at. At least I can go there and find my stuff. We lose things all the time. And really, it's not a big deal unless it's an emergency, right? And you got to have those keys, or you got to have this pair of glasses or whatever. I have people, now I've learned to say, I used to search over for them, and I set my glasses down, and somebody would come, hey, Mike, you know, look at this picture of my phone. I said, I can't see that. I don't have my glasses on. And really, what I'm telling them is I can't remember where I put my glasses. And there's probably, how many pair of glasses we have around the house? I'm trying to leave them in strategic places, you know what I mean? Like, so that I won't forget them. So like, I've got a pair in the bathroom. You never know when you gotta do some reading in there, right? Right? Okay. I've got a pair on the bar. So I left, you know, I've got them down there. I've got a pair on my dresser. I got a pair on the nightstand. I should have two or three pairs here in the church somewhere. I'm sure of it, right? And so we leave things as clues so that we can remember. And God's done the same thing for us. He gives us these amazing clues through His word of the benefits that we have. And we need to remember sometimes and go back and look. So let's go back for a moment and look. See, I believe this. You don't know what you don't know. 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 22. Let's read that together. It says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Thelevinus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. For all the promises, look at that, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, and also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. I want you to focus, though, in this passage of Scripture, when we start talking about the benefits of God and all the benefits that God has for us, there are some amazing benefits in being a believer. Matter of fact, the Bible says that all the promises, for all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. What does all mean in the Greek? It means all. All is all. That means you go back to the book of Genesis and the promises that He gave to the nation of Israel, the promises that He gave to Abraham, the promises are still yes and amen to you. The only difference is we don't have to worry about the law anymore to receive those promises. All the promises of God are yes. And so it's important that as believers, we sometimes have to step back because it's so easy to forget the benefits of being a believer. Now, we don't become a believer so that we can have these benefits. That's a side note. We become a believer because we want this relationship restored between us and our Heavenly Father. And it can only be happened through Jesus Christ. But there is a promise. The yeses are all yes. So what are some of those promises? What do they look like? Well, here's one. Here's our next one, right? This is something we need to remind ourselves of. In your worship guide, look right there. It says, I am forgiven and I am healed. We see that in verse 3 of the same Psalms 103 and 3. Who forgives what? All, some? All of our iniquities. Who heals some of our diseases. All of our diseases, right? That word iniquity, church, is the same word for sin. It's the same word. He has forgiven you of all your sin. He's healed all of your diseases. I talk to people all the time, and it's weird, man, how I listen to people and they take ownership of things. They take ownership of sickness. They take ownership of diseases. They take ownership of their past. They haven't released their past yet, and they've been forgiven. Well, that's just who I am. No, you've been forgiven of that. The Bible says we become a new creature in Christ. We are brand new people. We're not those old people anymore. You're a brand new person. God does not view you as you were yesterday. He views you as you are today through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a good place to say amen. And the same thing with our healing. We have received all healing. I hear people say this all the time. Man, my migraine. That's yours? You want to own that? My fill in the blank, my sickness, my disease, that's mine. That's mine. Don't touch mine. Okay, we won't. But don't come ask me to pray for you either, because you own that. You want that in your life. You own that. The Bible says, no, He has healed me. Say that to your neighbor. He's healed me. Look to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, He's healed you. We walk in divine health because it's a benefit of being a believer and in the kingdom of God. You don't have to own that. That migraine doesn't have to own you. If it does, we need to talk about that a little bit. Why are you being attacked by that if you've been set free from it? It's the authority of the believer. You don't have to own that junk no more. I didn't make this stuff up, okay? Some of us beat ourselves up over and over again, forgetting that you're forgiven. And maybe that's what you need to be reminded of this morning. Maybe, yeah, you know, you messed up. You sinned. You said something to your spouse that you probably shouldn't have said. You did something to your neighbor you probably shouldn't have done. You might have done some wrong. But if Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, my brother and sister, I pose to you right now, man, that's you're forgiven. Put it under the blood. Put it under there and leave it there. Quit taking it back. It's important that we protect. Oops, I'm just too far ahead there. We need to change the way we think about that. We need to remind ourselves that I'm forgiven. Sometimes, guys, that takes a while. You guys know my story. And it didn't happen overnight for me to remember, man, that I'm healed, that I'm forgiven. Sometimes it was standing in front of the mirror, man, and having this debate with the guy that I shaved with. And just having this debate over and over and over again, reminding that person in the mirror, you're forgiven. That's not who you are. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, and sometimes it doesn't happen overnight because you grew up, it took you 30, 40, 20, whatever years to develop these habits and these hangups in your life. And so, yeah, God can come in and miraculously move that, but sometimes we've got to tell our soul, hey, soul, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And we need to remind ourselves that we're healed. What are you saying? What's coming from your lips? I want to talk about that for a minute because our next promise, in we see that in verse 3. We've read that. Yeah, let's go to the next promise. Look here. You're forgiven. You're healed. Now you need to remind yourself that you've been redeemed. That's an amazing word, that word redeemed. Verse 4 says this. It says, who redeemed your life? Whose life? Mine. Somebody said it right. Who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me. Oh my gosh. Crowning, you have to understand that word crown, that's an identification. You're identified as royalty. You're crowned with this. You're crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. They love it. Notice where it's at. It's at the top, where the mind is, right? Sometimes you need to know that God crowns you. He covers you. He anoints you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Redeemed. The word redeemed means bought back or paid a price for. You've been bought. Ownership has moved hands and shifted ownership. You're no longer owned by you or this world or by sin. You've been bought with a price. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. And then he doesn't stop there because, see, understanding that we're redeemed means we live a redeemed lifestyle. I've told people this before. If I can get around people for just a moment, 5 or 10 minutes, and I can tell you what that person believes by what comes out of their mouth. I can tell if the person believes in redemption and that they're redeemed by the way they live and by what they're speaking, not only over themselves, but what they speak over other people. It doesn't take long, right? Verse 5, look at what verse 5 says. This is cool. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. What's that mean? Think about the dreams and the desires and the passions that God has put into your heart. And some of you men are hanging around a bunch of pigeons, man. You know what pigeons do? Yeah, you already know, right? Go wash your car, and I'll tell you what the pigeon will do, right? And go park it underneath the power line. Our words are very powerful. And our confession is even more powerful. That's why part of salvation is a confession. Salvation requires confession, doesn't it? Romans 9, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, confession is very powerful. And the Bible says that God satisfies our mouth with good things. What are you saying? Are you speaking good? Are you saying good? Or do you gossip? Do you talk back? Are you prideful? Are you arrogant? The Bible says, man, God has not given you that tithe. God has given you and satisfies your mouth with good things. Your mouth, have you listened to yourself lately? Is there doubt? Is there unbelief? Some of us here need to hear this. Some of you came here this morning because you need to be reminded that the words that you're speaking are very powerful. The Bible tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and then that love it what? Love what? Life or death will speak it, or eat it, really. It says eat it. It will take of it. What are you speaking into your life? Are you lining your life and your mouth with the good things of God's word and what God's word promises? Or do you speak what everybody else speaks and what everybody else says and all the poison that's out there that's in our world today? Your mouth should be filled with good things. The next point, next one. This is an important one, man. This is huge. So we're forgiven. We are healed. We've been redeemed. And now he says we are righteous. Another great reminder that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? It's not earned. It's imputed. You choose whether or not you get to walk in it. You have already been made righteous. Look at the verse. Look here. The Lord executes. Who does? The Lord executes. That means to put into action righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So if you're oppressed this morning, let me tell you something. God has executed righteousness on your behalf. You don't have to do it. What you do have to do is take ownership to it and say, I choose that. I choose righteousness. The word righteousness means what? We've talked about it so many times. What does it mean? In right standing. In right standing. It's not earned. See, the word righteous, actually, if you define a bit, it is in right standing, but it means to work out, to make, to accomplish. Sometimes you might think you don't feel righteous. You might not even act righteous, okay? And it might be true that you don't act righteous. Does that make you not righteous? No. Do you know why? It's not based on you. It was imputed to you. It was given to you. It was executed by the Lord to give to you. Now, you get to choose. You get to choose whether to walk in that and accept that and receive that and walk in what God has done for you. You get to choose that. Second Corinthians chapter 5, 18 through 21. Look at what it says. Now, all things, say all things, are of God who has reconciled, say the word reconciled, us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, say given, the ministry of reconciliation. You've been reconciled. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word, I love that, of reconciliation. It means you're called into ministry, church. You're called into doing this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, who's him? Who's him? It's capitalized, right? He is capitalized, and him is capitalized. Who's he talking about? Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the what? The righteousness of God in him. So this power, I mean, there's a whole message series on this one, because we're talking about that you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So what that means is you've been called into ministry. Every one of you in this room. Everyone that's on vacation that's not here today. We're all have been called into the ministry of reconciliation. We are to be pleading to the world. What's it say? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is our job in ministry. All of us. Not just Pastor Mike's. It's all of our responsibility. Romans 3:22. Look here. Namely, the righteousness of God, which comes by how? By working out personal interests and behaviors. No. It says by believing. Namely, the righteousness of God, which comes by believing with a personal trust and confident reliance on Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it is meant for all who believe, for there is no distinction. He's saying, look, righteousness comes through faith in a belief in Jesus. Coming to church don't make you righteous. Walking into a barn don't make you a horse. Righteousness is imputed to us, but that does not free us to sin. So if you use that doctrine and say, well, I can go out drinking tomorrow night, I can get hammered because I'm righteous. No, if you're righteous, you won't want to do that. If you're hungry and you're passionate for doing the things that God has and you're trying to please God, you're going to do what God asks you to do, not with the flesh. See, that's the false gospel that's being preached, the false grace that's being preached, is I can get saved, go to church, get my check card or my box checked, but then I cannot change my behavior in my life. No, it doesn't work that way. Righteousness shows up. Righteousness shows up. You've been made righteous. Now, there's much more we can talk about this from Psalms 103, but I want to skip ahead real quick because there's a couple of verses that are real powerful, and that is in verse 10 and 11, and that's our next point as we get ready to move on. It says this, watch this. His mercy is great. This goes right along with what we just talked about. Okay, so Mike, I don't do everything right. I'm still struggling with this sin. I'm still struggling with this addiction. I still struggle. What's the deal? His mercy is great. Praise God. His mercy's great. When I don't do right and I can't figure out how to get right, his mercy is great. See, God is a discerner of my heart. He's a discerner of your heart. So if you ain't got everything down right, that's okay. His mercy is great. Because I understand that behavior takes time sometimes. Sometimes God miraculously just completely transforms a person and that person's completely changed. And they never, maybe they were an addict and now they're no longer an addict, or maybe they had bad habits and they lied all the time and now all of a sudden they don't lie anymore. It's just completely removed. But also understand that sometimes, man, people have to work those things out. And sometimes it's a journey. And in that journey time, when your heart is right and you say, man, I want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing, but I keep going back. I keep coming back. What do I do? Mercy is great. Mercy is great. See, mercy, man, is like, mercy's like, how do you do it? Mercy means, man, though we deserved a punishment, we didn't get it. So I've shared this before. You know, BJ's a pretty big guy. I don't know if I could take him or not. Maybe at night when sleeping and I can sneak up on him. All right? But I could walk up to BJ and just haul off and just... Now, I'll probably run a little bit, right? So hopefully I hit him hard enough that it kind of shakes him a little bit, right? But let's say, for instance, hopefully you are. Let's say he's filled with mercy. Now, I deserve probably a butt whooping. But he doesn't do it. He doesn't punish me according to what I deserve. Instead, he gives me free membership to the box for the next 10 years. Right? We're good? Amen? Praise God? Right on, brother. He gives me something I don't deserve. That's grace. See, mercy is we deserve one thing, but get something different. His mercy is great. We got a good daddy, man. Psalms 103, verses 10 and 11. Look here. He has not dealt with us according to our sin. How many of y'all are thankful that God has not dealt with us according to our sin? Praise God. All right? I would not be standing here today. Smoke him. Nor punished us according to our sin or our iniquity. For as the heavens, watch this, guys. For as the heavens are high above the earth. Now, I'm not like Mr. Rocket Science, and that's for me, it's just, that's a long way. Okay? Now, I'm sure there's probably a mileage, and there's probably like it's 200 miles or whatever. But he says, as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Is that not amazing grace? How big is his mercy? You can't see it. It's so large, you can't see the end of it. That is good news. This scripture, this whole passage, man, that's your next step reading. Read Psalms 103. Get this spirit, get this in you. Sometimes you might have to study the first six verses and just say that every day in your life, every day. Talk about how good God is and what he's done in your life and yell at yourself, hey self, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And you're not gonna forget all these benefits. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves where we're at. Our Heavenly Father's mercy is greater than our sin. See, I want you to listen to me for a minute, church, as we get ready to wrap this thing up. Satan wants to drive a wedge between you and the Father. And yet his love, his mercy has such an expanse that it reaches far above the earth as the heavens. Can you picture that for a moment? Picture that in your spiritual mind and in your spiritual heart, how vast that is. We have so much to remember God for. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much that God wants to do. We have a message to our church to tell people how good our daddy really is. Don't forget what he has done in your life. Don't forget what he wants to do in your life. Some of you, God has promised you something, but the distance seems further and further away from that promise. And you're coming to a place where you're going, you know something, man? I just don't know if that's really gonna happen. Some of you men are blaming yourself because maybe you slipped up and you did some things that you probably weren't supposed to do. You made some bad decisions and some bad choices. But can I tell you something this morning, as I stand here this morning and tell you that God's promise still remains. And his mercy is great, and you are a righteous person, and you have been redeemed. You are forgiven, and you have been healed. Walk in that truth. Live out that truth. Let the world see that truth come through you. That is righteousness. That is the way we live as believers. That is the epic life. God is so good, and he's so patient with us. We need to remember, because it's not okay to sin, but that when we do, God's mercy is there. We're going to pray for a little bit, man, and get dismissed here in just a second. I want our attitude, I need our minds to change for just a moment, to remember who God is and what God has done in our life is so important. See, this reminder isn't just Christian or church. Sometimes it's reminding what God did in our marriage. Or how God took a bad situation and turned it around and made it good. Sometimes we need to remember, man, what brought us together as husband and wife. And remember, one of the things that I just did a wedding yesterday, and one of the things I told the couple is that, you know, when things get really ugly and things start getting bad, remember this moment. Remember what brought you two together. Sometimes we need to remember that. And when the pain is so sharp and we can't seem to deal with the pain in our body anymore because of an affliction or something that's in us, remember that God says he's healed you. When business seems to be going down and it's not growing up, remember the promise that God made to you. When your kids aren't living the way they're supposed to be living, remember his promise of what he told you that your kids would be doing. Remember the calling that's upon their life. We have to remember and remind ourselves sometimes of what God has done. When you look around the church and you go, man, there's here a lot of empty chairs, remember what God promised. And what God says, I'm taking you. I think some of you need to remember. More importantly, I think some of you need to start reminding yourself of what God says about you, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you.